Hi, Stacy here for Angus Talking Newspaper. Welcome to the August edition. We're looking forward to welcoming you all to meet up at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, the 18th of August at Brecon City Football Club. This is our first social meetup with all the listeners and the volunteers. We're excited to gather together for a cuppy, biscuit or two, and a chance to meet each other and talk about the service. A partner, friend, or other companion would be very welcome as well. For our recording this month, we have Leslie with the 23rd of July, Fiona with the 30th of July, and Jenny with the 6th of August. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to meeting you Tuesday, August 18th at 7 p.m. at Brecon City Football Club.
This is Leslie, and I'm reading from the Angus County Press newspaper for Thursday, 23rd of July. And the front page is a very big picture of the beach at Monifieth, but the headline is Beach E. coli Alert in Place. A warning advertising beachgoers to keep clear of the water at Monifieth due to high levels of E. coli remains in place following the advice of the Scottish Environmental Protection Agency, SEPA. The bacterial contamination was picked up by the agency during a routine testing of the beach's bathing waters. Angus Council has since issued a warning against swimming and paddling while SEPA investigates further. Pets should also not be allowed to enter the water. The warning is described by SEPA as temporary, but will apply for the foreseeable future. Next item. £900 boost for charity. An Angus charity, which helps children in foster and adoptive families, has received a £900 boost from the Asda Foundation to help continue its work providing life-changing activities and experiences. The funding was presented by Asda Forfar community champion Shona Mitchell to adoption and fostering group Angus, which supports children in care and the families who care for them by arranging activities, outings and social events. Shona said, "We're incredibly proud to support adoption and fostering Angus through the Asda Foundation. The charity provides invaluable support to children and families across the area, creating opportunities for young people to try something new, build bonds and enjoy special moments that many of us might otherwise take for granted. We hope this funding will help create more special experiences and lasting memories for them." Wildfires warning further extended. A very high risk of wildfire warning for parts of the country, including eastern Scotland, has been extended as warm weather is forecast to continue. The Scottish Fire and Rescue Service, in conjunction with the Scottish Wildfire Forum, has today extended the warning until Friday, 24th of July. It is currently in attendance in a wildfire in the Glenmore area of the Cairngorm National Park, which has burned since last Wednesday. Crews also remain in attendance at a grass fire on Arthur's Seat at the heart of Edinburgh. Deputy Assistant Chief Officer Ian McMeekin said, "We've seen that the wildfires and large fires in the open can have a devastating impact on the environment and they come in incredibly disruptive to communities. Now the very high wind fire risk warning has been extended until later this week and we must ask the people of Scotland to help us by following our advice. If you want to enjoy the warmer weather or you're spending time outdoors, please do so responsibly and take simple steps to prevent fires from starting. Even if a warning is not in place where you live, we ask you to be vigilant. Advice for the public in the affected areas is to avoid open flames completely." Inspector Meekin said, "Avoid lighting outdoor fires or barbecues in affected areas and remember that a single spark can cause significant damage. There is no such thing as a harmless fire. If you see a large outdoor fire, call 999 immediately. Give the location and any other relevant information so we can respond quickly." Kim Reddy for V&A Showcase. An Arbroath-born designer whose colourful contour maps transform Scotland's hills and mountains into striking artwork is preparing to showcase her work at the V&A in Dundee. Kim Parker of Kylo Papa creates prints, homeware, greetings cards and gifts inspired by the distinctive contours of Scotland's landscape. This weekend, she will join around 45 of Scotland's leading independent makers, artists and designers at the Tea Green Events Summer Design Market. Open to the public and free to attend, the three-day event from the 24th of July to the 26th. And each day, visitors will be able to browse Kim's collection of prints, tea towels, greeting cards, and handmade textile pieces. And there is a picture of her here with one very attractive looking piece of artwork. Poignant talk for Probus Club. President David Ross chaired the recent meeting of the Carnoustie Probus Club, which welcomed guest speaker Anne Bell. Anne gave a talk on Maggie centres, with particular attention to that at the one at Nine Wells Hospital. The concept was thought up by Maggie Keswick-Jenks, a cancer patient who felt there was not enough support for sufferers throughout their treatment and afterwards. The Dundee Centre was opened in 2003 and provides practical, emotional and social care for patients and their families. It is a call-in centre and there were 12,000 visits in 2025. A number of Probus members related personal experiences and the help they'd received at Maggie's. After a very interesting and towards the end emotional talk, the vote of thanks was given by Ken Naylor. Welcome return to Music Club. Sunday, August the 2nd, the Arbroath Accordion and Fiddle Club will welcome back accordionist Aidan Graham and his band at its guest artists. Aidan is a professional musician from Fife who graduated from the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland in 2020 with an honours degree in traditional music. Playing piano accordion, he has won several championships and leads his own band, who've already aired on BBC Radio Scotland, Take the Floor, several times. The doors of the Meadowbank Inn will open at 1 p.m. and the music starts at 1:30. The club would like to welcome younger players, giving them an opportunity to hear traditional music and an opportunity to play. Business recognised in Food and Drinks Awards. Three Angus businesses are celebrating after being named as one of the finalists for this year's Scotland Food and Drink Excellence Awards. A total of 64 finalists representing 48 businesses across 20 categories have been listed, with Angus Soft Fruit in the Drink and Food and Drink Campaign of the Year category, Caterer Raise in the Food Tourism Business of the Year category, and Sterling Potatoes among those in Business Innovation of the Year. Running for 25 years, the annual awards recognise the highest quality of produce as well as leading suppliers, individuals and companies. This year's winners will be announced at an award night on Thursday, September 24th in the Crown Plaza Hotel in Glasgow, hosted by Saturday Kitchen presenter and MasterChef, the professionals judge Matt Thibault. Kiddie School attains Gold Award. A Kirriemuir school is celebrating after achieving the prestigious Gold Reading Schools Award from the Scottish Book Trust, the highest level of accreditation available. Northmuir Primary School Early Learning and Childcare Centre have also been recognised with the Early Learning Reading Schools Award. Led by Ashley Arbuckle, Deputy Head Teacher and the school's pupil reading champions, the whole school community worked together to promote reading through a wide range of creative activities and partnerships. These included building local partnerships with Realm of Imagination Toy Shop, Kirriemuir Library, Kirriemuir Dental Practice and the Webster's High School. Reading has become part of everyday life across the school, with pupils sharing book recommendations through weekly Coley Tri book reviews, taking part in Comic Club and participating in paired reading sessions and the national literacy events such as Book Week Scotland and World Book Day. The school has also created welcoming reading spaces, including a new library and a book nuke, where books can be borrowed and exchanged free of charge. This year, the children also enjoyed meeting authors at the Waterstones Book Festival and celebrated their inspiration with the whole school dragon exhibition, while reading champions spread positively throughout the local community by creating a trail of uplifting poems. And there's a lovely picture here of the youngsters reading their books and looking absolutely mesmerised and engrossed by them. Next item, businesses urged to plan water use. Dry weather has led to more Scottish river catchments moving through the water scarcity levels, according to the latest report from SEPA. The number of catchments affected continues to grow, with four traditional areas moving into moderate scarcity and nine more reaching early warning. Around half of Scotland's rivers catchments are now at one of SEPA's water scarcity levels. Moderate scarcity is now in place in the Tyne in Lothian, Firth of Forth, Firth of Tay, Dun in Aberdeenshire, Esk and Tweed catchments. Water scarcity means there is less water available in rivers, lochs, and groundwater, increasing pressure on the environment and on businesses and farmers that rely on taking water from natural sources. Rainfall has been normal to wet across Western and much of Northern Scotland. In contrast, much of the East has experienced dry conditions, with parts of Angus and Fife extremely dry. Ground conditions are dry across much of Eastern Scotland, especially along the East Coast. That's definitely our area then, isn't it? Next item. It's a very long one, but I have cut some parts out of it because it would take the most of our recording time. But it's about a young man called Ryan Dewar. And the title is 4 Photo Film Sets, Theatre and Back Again. When Ryan Dewar walked into Forfar Academy earlier last year with a film crew behind him, it wasn't nostalgia that hit him first. Nearly 20 years after leaving school, he was back directing scenes for a US TV feature film, Murder in the Highland Manor. And he was surrounded by former teachers, local drama pupils, members of his own family, and a community that had unknowingly helped shape his career. The film has since been broadcast across the United States on Lifetime, bringing Angus and Perthshire locations to an international audience. Yet for Ryan, who has travelled to more than 50 countries working across film, television and theatre, the most rewarding part wasn't the international recognition, it was coming home. I've filmed in lots of places around the world and I've been lucky enough to travel extensively, but I always enjoy coming back to Angus and Perthshire, he said. Some of my favourite locations anywhere in the world are here, and obviously the people. This latest production included locations at Forfar Academy, Glenclover Hotel, PSC House and Easter Rattray Estate, with support from Angus Council and local communities making the project possible. It's not simply a case of using the areas of a backdrop. Local people were involved, local knowledge shaped the shoot, and the production became part of the community for the time it was there. Former guidance teachers Bruce Martin and Kaz Mohammed became part of the production, with Bruce even starring as a cop, while local pupils from the school's drama department joined the film as American students alongside members of Ryan's own family. The experience brought together the past and present in a way Ryan had not expected. His journey towards a career in the arts began at 16 years old, working with an Angus Council and Young Scot, creating video content after being recruited through a summer school activity, before progressing into theatre, film and television. What began with early editing work and local creative opportunities has grown into a career spanning feature films, theatre, productions, live events, national tours and international distributions. And now that path has led to another unexpected full circle moment. This autumn, Ryan is producing a new national tour of Tony Roper's The Steamy alongside fellow producer and actress Louise MacArthur, opening in Dundee Rep Theatre in August before touring Scotland. So it's a really interesting story, and there's pictures of Ryan here, and there's pictures of the Glenclover Hotel and pictures of the actors who are going to be in The Steamy when it starts its tour from Dundee Rep. And I had just to add on there that I used to work at Forfar Academy and I knew Ryan, and he was always very, very enthusiastic about theatre and the arts. So that is a very interesting story for me to see how his career has developed and how successful he has been. So I'm just moving over now to a little bit of sports news. Premiership star Gary signs for Gable Endies. Former Hearts striker Gary Oliver has signed a 2-year deal with Montrose. Oliver, 30, arrives with an impressive career record built across Scotland's top two divisions. Since making his professional debut for Hearts in 2013, he's gone on to amass over 400 senior appearances and 60 goals across league and cup competitions. A graduate of the Tynecastle Academy, Gary's senior career includes Senhas Muir, Queen of the South, Greenock Morton, and most recently 4 years with the Premiership side Falkirk. The Glasgow-born forward also represented his country at under-19 level, earning 4 caps and scoring once. Manager Stuart Petrie welcomed the arrival of a player with proven quality and experience, saying, "Gary is someone who has consistently performed at both Championship and premiership level and brings real intelligence, movement and end product to our forward line. His experience will be invaluable and we believe he'll make a big impact here at Lynx Park. Oliver added, I'm delighted to be joining Montrose. Joining him also for the first team will be two academy graduates who have signed first team contracts for the new season. Calmer Clements and Fraser Donaldson have enjoyed a steady and impressive emergence into the first team setup over the past year, with Fraser making three appearances for Petrie's side last season and McClements netting three times in his 13 outings. Eilish is lured by home games. Eilish McCorgan admits that the nostalgia of 2014 will see her try to defend her 10,000-metre title in the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. The four-time Olympian memorably grabbed gold at Birmingham 2022 with a last-lap kick, emulating her mum Liz's wins in 1986 and 1990. However, since then, the 35-year-old from Carnoustie has mainly concentrated on road running and marathons. McColgan has no intention of returning to the track, but the temptation of racing for a home crowd pulled hard on her heartstrings. As such, she will aim to win a second gold 12 years after she competed in Glasgow in the 3,000-metre steeplechase. McColgan told a Q&A webinar for Athletics Trust Scotland, if these games were being held in Australia or anywhere else, then I would not be thinking about it. The only reason I'm trying is because Scotland are the host nation. Road running is now my thing. Track running is no longer a job for me. There is that nostalgic angle of wanting to compete again on a home Commonwealth Games like I did in 2014, she said. So that's, I thought that, although that's more of our national news, I thought it was interesting to include it because there is that local connection with her family, links with Carnoustie. And I'm going to finish with a letter, which I don't usually include letters, but this is an interesting one which I thought you would find good to hear about. RNIB backs challenge. The heat is, sir. And this comes from Laura Marshall, Library Engagement Manager, RNIB. The heat is on and it's that time of year when parents have to dig deep to find ways to entertain their kids for the long summer holidays. This can be a daunting task, but what better way to spark children's imaginations and keep them amused than to get them stuck into some fantastic books? Here at the Royal National Institute for Blind People, we know that there are 25,000 children who are living with a vision impairment, which can make reading a bit more challenging. That's why we've got more than 5,000 children books in Braille and audio formats that children can read in RNIB's completely free online library. Specialised DAISY CDs designed for easy structured navigation can be delivered to your door, as can USB memory sticks with up to three books on each. Printed Braille books can be ordered on demand and an electronic Braille can be downloaded to read on Braille displays. Children can use all these brilliant books to take part in the annual Summer Reading Challenge, which encourages children aged 4 to 11 to read six books and provides incentives for completion. Enjoy your summer reading wherever it may take you. It's really good to know that children who have some kind of restriction on their vision have a way to get enjoyment out of books.
Angus County Press, Thursday, July the 30th, 2026. This is Fiona speaking. Anne makes a difference. A Montrose community volunteer has been put forward for a national award in recognition of her charity work in Montrose. Anne Kenny, who works with Montrose Community Trust, has been nominated for a BBC Radio Scotland Make a Difference Award. She has been shortlisted in the Volunteer Award category, which celebrates individuals who give their time freely to improve the lives of others and make a meaningful contribution to their local communities. The awards are among Scotland's most prominent community honours, spotlighting remarkable people whose kindness, commitment and generosity are creating positive change. They form part of the BBC's wider Make a Difference initiative, which recognises inspiring contributions across communities throughout the country. 200 million spin-off. Angus businesses could benefit from a 200 million spin-off from SSEN's infrastructure investment proposals, the company has said. According to a new economic report linked to its multi-billion pound Perth-based SSEN transmission, hopes a 1.4 billion infrastructure investment in the county will deliver highly paid new jobs, a construction industry uplift, and funding for community projects. But the report comes as communities continue to fight the controversial Kintore to Teeling 400 kV overhead line project, the outcome of which will be decided by a Scottish Government public inquiry. All clear for beach. Monifieth Beach's bathing waters have been given a clean bill of health after closure prompted by the presence of E. coli. The bacterial contamination was picked up by the Scottish Environment Protection Agency, SEPA, during a recent routine testing of the water. Angus Council had issued a warning against swimming and paddling while SEPA investigated further. It also advised that pets should not be allowed to enter the water. The local authority has now confirmed that test results show that the waters are safe. A council spokesperson said, "We are pleased to report that SEPA has confirmed that latest sampling shows the water at Monifieth Beach is now safe for bathing and paddling, and signs advising against doing so will be removed as soon as possible." Urged to act safely near horses. Angus police officers recently stopped more than 100 vehicles during a campaign to educate drivers about acting responsibly and near horses on the country's roads. Members of the Carnoustie, Monifieth and Sidlaws community policing team were joined by colleagues from Road Policing and the Police Scotland Mounted Unit for Operation Lose the Blinkers, which was carried out in the Kellis and Wellbank areas of Angus. The initiative focuses on educating motorists about sharing the road safely and responsibly with vulnerable road users, helping to make our roads safer for everyone. It follows incident reports via the British Horse Society from horse riders in the local area. As well as stopping 106 vehicles, 49 drivers were commended for their considerate driving and safe overtaking of horses. 55 drivers received advice and education on reducing speed, allowing sufficient space and passing horses safely. Two fixed penalty notices were issued for road traffic offences. Repairs for Institute. Proposals have been put forward to repair one of Brechin's best-known landmark buildings. The 187-year-old Mechanics Institute at the junction of St Mary Street and Church Street has been leaking badly during bad weather, and the situation necessitated buckets being placed in the B-listed building's main hall to catch rainwater. It has prompted Angus Council, which administers the buildings as a common good asset, to seek listed building consent for work to make the roof lights and tower watertight. Conservation experts have said that the water ingress is damaging the floor and humidity levels have been recorded at almost 80% rather than the expected 40 to 60%. The figures are a concern. Mechanics is home to a number of important artworks held in the Angus collection. The council plans to replace 6 roof lights with powder-coated and double-glazed lantern items, which are approved for listed buildings, at an estimated cost of £80,000. Once this is complete and humidity levels are reduced, the hall floor will be professionally sanded and varnished. The large leaded tower window is also leaking water, damaging internal stonework, while hall ceiling is showing the signs of a previous repair where gypsum plaster rather than lime plaster was used to patch a leak. MSP's fact-finding visit to GSK. Angus North and Mearns MSP Dawn Black visited GlaxoSmithKline GSK in Montrose recently for a roundtable session with senior staff. About the visit, Ms. Black said it was a brilliant opportunity to get to know the people who are running one of the constituency's biggest export operations. It was fascinating to see firsthand the unassuming work going on by the whole team at GSK. Folk perhaps don't realise that the life-saving asthma medication they take every day is being produced in Montrose. GSK manufacture the active ingredients in inhalers as well as other vital respiratory medications. In almost 75 years of production, they have been quietly supplying the globe with a multitude of medical solutions. Award for work in community. A Carnoustie community worker was surprised recently with a special presentation in recognition of her work in the town. Kirsty MacDonald received the unexpected award at a presentation in Carnoustie's Royal British Legion Hall. A native of Aberdeen, she has lived in the town for over 50 years, during which time she has looked after the catering for numerous British Legion functions every year. More recently, since just before the COVID pandemic, Kirsty masterminded and ran, with the aid of a small team of volunteers, the town's food bank based at the Royal British Legion. With a demanding weekly schedule of deliveries to many needy families, she had to constantly seek and find a wide range of foodstuffs to distribute while at the same time maintaining a much-needed flow of cash donations to help supplement supplies. Meeting offers chance to engage with MSPs. Around 30 local business representatives were given the chance recently to engage directly with the area's MSPs in the first of a series of sessions organised by Dundee and Angus Chamber of Commerce. The event brought together local employers and business leaders with MSPs Dawn Black, Liam Kerr, Lloyd Melville and Michael Mara, in a relaxed setting at the Chamber's City Key office. With no formal agenda or speeches, attendees from Carolina House Trust to SSEN Transmission raised a wide range of topics affecting businesses and the wider local community. These included strengthening support for unpaid carers, improving workforces participation and connecting with local businesses to create more jobs. The event followed the Chamber's Scottish election hustings earlier this year when Michael Mara, MSP, made a public commitment to maintain regular engagement with the local business community. It also highlighted the willingness of elected representatives from across the political spectrum to engage directly with businesses, listen to concerns, and better understand the opportunities and challenges facing organisations operating across the wider region. Busy day for rail travel. ScotRail recorded more than 200,000 passenger journeys on Sunday, July 26, making it the busiest Sunday since the train operator returned to public ownership in April 2022. Last Sunday's total of 201,463 journeys included tens of thousands of people attending Commonwealth Games events at venues across Glasgow. The record-breaking figures are part of an upward trend this summer, which saw more than 7 million journeys recorded in June. Train travel is being boosted by a busy summer of events, which has seen ScotRail assist customers to travel to concerts, festivals, and sporting events all over the country. And ScotRail is expecting even more customers over the coming weeks, with additional services already confirmed for the Edinburgh festivals. Extra staff are also on hand across the network to provide travel information and help customers reach venues safely and with confidence. Ambitious programme for annual film festival. Films about the politics of rewilding, the joy of open-air swimming, and the consequences of overfishing are all part of a major environmental festival taking place in Montrose in September. The fourth annual Land X Sea Festival, which takes place from Friday, September the 11th to Sunday, September the 13th, will feature films from Scotland, Greenland, Iraq, Croatia, Indonesia, and the US, and includes one European premiere, two UK premieres, and eight Scottish premieres. Held in Montrose Playhouse, the festival will also include seaweed tasting, knot tying, and an annual duke when filmmakers from around the world plunge into the icy waters of Montrose Bay. Rachel Kaplan, festival director, said, "When I talk to people, they are sometimes surprised that a major international film festival is taking place in a small town in Angus. But Montrose is right at the epicentre of all these conversations about climate, energy and agriculture." Ready to cross the Atlantic for Archie. A Scottish trio who are preparing to row across the Atlantic in aid of children's charity, the Archie Foundation, have taken delivery of the boat that will carry them from La Gomera in the Canary Islands to Antigua. The Saltire Tides team has also secured headline sponsorship from PAMP, one of the world's most renowned bullion brands, and the product brand of MKS PAMP, helping maximise the funds raised for Scottish children's charity, the Archie Foundation. Dr. Jenna Volpert and physiotherapist Ellen Clark and Lauren Wild Arnold are friends and former Dundee flatmates who have signed up to take part in the world's toughest row, a formidable 3,000-mile journey. Starting in December, the challenge will see them battle 40-foot waves, unpredictable weather, sleep deprivation, and salt sores as they take it in turns to row for up to 3 hours, 24 hours a day. Prominently displayed on the boat is PAMP's iconic Lady Fortuna design, depicting the Roman goddess of prosperity and good fortune. The race will start on Saturday, December the 12th, when weather conditions are most favourable. Saltire Tides have set themselves the ambitious goal of completing the crossing in less than 40 days. Challenge to take to the rigging of historic ship. Local businesses are being asked to take on a unique fundraising challenge and scale the heights in September in support of the NHS. The NHS Tayside Charitable Foundation has officially launched its Discovery Mast Climb Challenge, which will take place on Sunday, September the 27th. Local corporate teams and thrill seekers are being invited to scale the historic rigging of Captain Scott's iconic polar research ship, RRS Discovery, berthed at Dundee's waterfront, to raise funds for regional healthcare projects. In a boost for local organisations looking to get involved, NHS TCF has confirmed that the entry fee for all participants will be fully covered by the charity. In return, climbers are being asked to commit to a fundraising target to support the foundation's life-changing work across Angus, Dundee and Perth and Kinross areas. Sorry about my cuckoo clock. I was looking for some sport for everybody and can't find any. Oh, here we are. Under sport, Leask is left out of home series. Fort Hill in Broughty Ferry will play host to the ICC Cricket World Cup League 2 series as Scotland's men take on Canada and UAE. However, there is no place in the squad for Forfarshire's own Michael Leask to play at his home ground. The 35-year-old misses out along with the injured duo of Brad Curry and Owen Gould, with Lyle Robertson being handed a debut and returns for Zainula Ihsan and Michael Jones. The series will be Scotland's final fixtures in ICC Cricket World Cup League 2, currently sitting joint second in the table, alongside Netherlands, 5 points behind leaders, USA. Scotland head coach Owen Dawkins said, "We're looking forward to hosting Canada and UAE in what promises to be another highly competitive series." Busy week for Angus players. Angus tennis players were busy last week as 2-1 Scottish tournaments and 3 played for the north of Scotland at the annual County Week in Roehampton. Cameron Fryer won the singles title at the Giffnock Open and was runner-up with fellow Montrose Tennis Club member Patrick Young in the doubles. Fryer beat St Andrews coach Nicholas Rosenzweig in the singles 6-1, 5-7, 7-6. A reversal of the week before at the Bridge of Allen Central Open when Fryer had to retire. Jen Richardson of Montrose Tennis Club won the 65-plus ladies doubles at the North Berwick Open. She won 5 and drew 1 off the round-robin matches with her partner, Fiona Stewart of Edinburgh. Fryer and Young then joined the North of Scotland men's team for the 5 days of County Week at the National Tennis Centre. Triathlon puts hundreds to the test in Forfar. More than 200 amateur athletes of all abilities put their speed and stamina to the test for the 6-4-4 triathlon on Sunday. Organised by Tri Angus Limited, participants came from as far afield as Lanark and Shetland to swim at Forfar Community Campus, cycles throughout the rolling countryside, and run to Forfar Loch and back. From 11 a.m, 8 heats of swimmers completed their allocated swim lengths of the 6-lane pool, with novices doing 16 to cover 400 metres, while more experienced athletes did 30 for to cover 750 metres. The bike ride challenged novices with one lap of the almost 10-kilometre course out to East Mains of Carsburn before returning via North Whitehills, while the sprint competitors pedalled covered just over 21 kilometres. Finally, it was a 5K down to the north shore of Forfar Loch and back before sprinting for the finish at the community campus, where prizes were handed out. Enjoyed by all. Well, that's all for me today, including my little cuckoo clock. Take care and speak again soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Jenny reading from Angus County Press, Thursday, August the 6th, 2026. The front page has a big headline, Charged Over Death of Girl. The community of Arbroath was left in shock and heartbreak after a 9-year-old girl whose family were on a camping trip in the area died in suspicious circumstances. A 35-year-old man who was known to the girl has been charged in connection with the death of the child, who was found seriously injured on the Elliott Industrial Estate just after midnight on Monday morning. She was taken to Ninewells Hospital in Dundee but did not survive. Police Scotland said no one else was being sought in connection with her death, and he was due to appear at Dundee Sheriff Court on Wednesday. Members of the girl's family from West Yorkshire were in the area on a camping trip at the time and are being supported by officers. The Scottish Ambulance Service said it received a call at 11:53 p.m. on Sunday to attend an incident at the industrial estate. 3 ambulances and a paramedic response unit were dispatched, with 3 patients taken to Ninewells. A police forensics tent was erected at the scene, with a cordon in place next to the Halliburton manufacturing facility, while investigations continued. One eyewitness who works in a business based in the industrial estate said he visited his workplace at around 6:15 p.m. on Sunday when he passed a family that appeared to be camping beside the road, having parked a car. He said they had a wee tent pitched on the grass, just a basic 2-man pop-up tent like you'd get in a supermarket. The car had one of the foil windscreen covers on it. I saw a man and a woman and 2 kids. One was a girl and I think a younger boy. They looked like they were making or clearing up food. The man said that when he passed by the scene again after leaving his work around 25 to 30 minutes later, the family were still at the tent. I thought it was a pretty strange place to camp, especially given the beach at Elliott, which is 2 minutes away, and is obviously a bit more picturesque, he added. The industrial estate is located a short walk away from the Red Lion Holiday Park, a popular destination for families. The owners, Errol-based Persia Caravans, said it had no information when asked if the family had visited the premises. Police confirmed that a 5-year-old white British man had been charged. Resilience funding. Montrose could benefit from a new £15 million fund to improve the resilience of communities across Scotland most at risk from flooding. Funding will be provided to local groups, communities and local authorities to help them to tackle flooding issues and preparedness. The cash will support sustainable drainage, including natural features such as green spaces and planting,
to reduce flood risk and future-proof existing flooding infrastructure. Coastal communities will also benefit with support available for innovative coastal resilience projects to replenish sand dunes and reduce flood risk in towns such as Montrose, which is experiencing continuing and aggressive coastal erosion. The latest assessment of the situation shows that the rock groin at the seafront is doing its intended job with the build-up and retention of sand. This is subject to monthly surveys by experts from Glasgow University who are monitoring changes in the dunes, rock groin, access points and the seafront splash. Data is currently being assessed. And there is a photograph of a digger at the rock groin in Montrose. Convicted of death. A 55-year-old man has been convicted of causing the death of a man by dangerous driving following a crash in Broughty Ferry earlier this year. Fraser Garden stole a Maserati Quattroporte from a car showroom in April last year before driving in a dangerous manner and colliding with 74-year-old John Bell, who was in a garden on Fort Hill Road. Garden fled the scene before later being traced and arrested. Mr. Bell was, however, pronounced dead at the scene. On Friday at the High Court in Edinburgh, Garden was convicted after pleading guilty to causing death by dangerous driving, theft of a motor vehicle, driving without insurance, driving while disqualified, and failing to provide a blood sample for drugs testing. He will be sentenced at a later date. The Scottish Environment Protection Agency has extended temporary restrictions on licensed water abstraction after the Tay Estuary and other water catchments reached significant water scarcity. The restrictions apply to a further 48 licences to abstract water from the environment, primarily supporting agricultural activities. They follow restrictions introduced recently in a number of areas, including the Lunan Water, which all still remain in place. While heavy rain is forecast across parts of Scotland, including areas affected by water scarcity, this does not necessarily mean that river and catchment conditions will immediately recover. Summer rainfall can be highly localised, with significant differences in where rain falls and how much individual areas receive. SEPA will continue to monitor conditions closely and lift restrictions as soon as river conditions recover. There is a photograph of Arbroath bus station. New safety measures. A survey has been launched by Angus Council to find out how facilities at Arbroath bus station can be made safer for users, and a number of suggestions have already been put forward to help vandal-proof the station, which is currently undergoing improvement work. It follows the closure last year of the building's waiting room by the council after instances of antisocial behaviour. And the town councillors have urged the public to make their views known, while at the same time calling for increased police patrols in the vicinity of the station. Councillor Brenda Durno said she believes more use of technology could help. She said, "At a recent TACTRAN meeting, I highlighted the fact we need QR codes on tickets, whether on paper tickets or on phones. This could enable passengers to use the facilities like toilets or refreshments. The bus companies would have the customers' details. This would make monitoring the vandalism within the bus station easier for police or security. Outside cameras linked to a central office could also monitor activities by individuals not using public transport." Deputy Council Leader Derek Wan welcomed the improvement programme. He said, "These upgrades will help enhance the facility for passengers and contribute to a more welcoming town centre environment. I have also contacted Police Scotland on several occasions to request a more visible presence. And Councillor Lois Speed added, there have been a number of incidents in and around the bus station that have affected drivers, passengers and nearby businesses. People deserve to feel safe while travelling, working and running their business. A council spokesman said, in addition to the waiting room repairs, the council has completed work on upgrading the CCTV system, the lighting on the concourse and the real-time information screen. The council will continue to work with business tenants at the bus station and Police Scotland as required. Health Board welcomes record intake of doctors. NHS Tayside has welcomed 124 new doctors to the Health Board, building on last year's record intake and marking the largest number of newly qualified doctors to join the organisation. Executive Medical Director Dr. James Cotton met recently with the new Foundation Year FY1 doctors as they began their induction programme this week. The doctors will work across a wide range of specialities across the Health Board area as they undertake a two-year foundation programme. The induction programme, organised by the Directorate of Medical Education, includes lectures and workshops on a range of topics designed to support them as they prepare to begin their clinical roles. These will run alongside time spent shadowing the medical teams in the departments where they will undertake their first posts. The foundation programme provides newly qualified doctors with experience across a variety of clinical specialities. This helps them to develop the skills, knowledge and confidence required for the next stage of their medical training. The new intake will now join different teams across NHS Tayside, where they will begin caring for patients under the supervision and support of experienced clinical colleagues. Below a photograph of the Royal Marine Volunteer Cadet Corps is the headline, RM Cadets Hold Annual Presentation. The Royal Marine Volunteer Cadet Corps held its Pass Out Award Ceremony recently at RM Conda in Arbroath. The event took place in Bewley Hall with many of the cadets' families proudly watching the ceremony. Commanding Officer Damien McCarthy presented the trophies, with the Roddy Campbell Award presented by Paul Burgess RM on behalf of the East of Scotland Royal Marines Association. All the cadets have worked hard to receive their white caps at the ceremony. The following cadets won trophies. The Belle Isle Award, Cadet Peyton Melville, for upholding and promoting the values and standards of the Royal Marine Volunteer Cadet Corps, Cadet Mark Taylor. The Roddy Campbell Award, Cadet William Longdon. The Most Improved Cadet, Peter Sesford. A buffet was provided after the ceremony. There is a photograph of orphaned baby red squirrel kits, and the headline is, Boston has given back to thank the Tartan Army. The Scottish SPCA has received kind donations from across the pond after Boston residents who warmly welcomed Scotland's famous Tartan Army during this summer's World Cup decided to give something back by supporting the country's national animal welfare charity. Thousands of Scottish football fans were welcomed with open arms to the Massachusetts capital back in June, and the world watched with delight as beautiful friendships were formed, with many of those fans even raising money for local charities during their stay. Now that kindness has come full circle. The donations to the Scottish SPCA have come from Cumberland, Rhode Island, Lexington and Littlejohn, Massachusetts, accompanied with a short and sweet message, "Thank you from Boston." Every donation helps to fund the charity's vital work, rescuing neglected and abused pets, investigating animal cruelty
and providing specialist care for Scotland's injured and orphaned wildlife. Recent patients at the charity's National Wildlife Rescue Centre have included orphaned baby red squirrel kits, Fanta and Tango, who required expert veterinary treatment and care after being found cold, wet and alone in a ditch at just a few weeks old. There are also some fawns currently being cared for by the wildlife team after arriving at the centre with injuries and open wounds sustained from dog attacks or from being trapped in fencing or netting. The charity has cared for 1,573 wild animals so far this year, from hedgehogs and birds of prey to seals and otters, helping them recover before being released back to the wild. There are 6 photographs of crowds at the Arbroath Fest. Music lovers converged on Arbroath over the weekend for this year's Arbroath Fest, which ran on Friday and Saturday. The opening night crowd gathered at Andrea's Bistro to hear performances from Brattacus, Face Up and Goodbye Blue Monday. Events continued on Saturday at the town's Inchcape Park and Bacon Green, with Idlewild and Farlison headlining the North Sea stage. The Signal Tower stage featured a variety of acts which included Brown Bear and Katie Nicol. As well as a feast of music, those attending also enjoyed a range of food vendors and stalls, vintage motorcycle displays, a children's magician and bouncy castles, and lots of refreshment stalls. Some of the furthest travelled attendees were a family from Port Douglas in Queensland, Australia, who were visiting relatives in Carnoustie. Full fibre rollout continues in Angus. Towns and villages in rural Angus will be among others in the northeast to experience ultra-reliable, lightning-fast, full fibre as independent broadband builder and provider GoFibre continues its rollout in Angus, Perth and Kinross and Aberdeenshire. Following on from the first homes and businesses being connected to GoFibre's North East Scotland network in Edsall, Inverbervie and Longforgan, the next ready-for-service properties will be in Montrose, Dunkeld, Bankfoot, Newton Hill, Portlethen, Aileth and Cooper Angus. Residents and businesses in these areas will be able to benefit from speeds of up to 1 gigabyte on GoFibre's network, enabling smooth remote working, streaming without buffering, and allowing local enterprises to provide a seamless service for their customers. Alongside improved digital infrastructure, the rollout is delivering wider economic benefits, creating 30 direct construction roles and supporting up to 180 jobs across the lifetime of the rollout, including subcontracted work. The build is being delivered as part of a major government contract to improve connectivity in underserved areas. Angus farmer cited in new book on health. An Angus farmer has been featured in a groundbreaking new book looking at the effect on health of the country's food system. Farmer Nikki Yoxall, who co-runs Rottle Land and Livestock with husband James, based at Rottle Estates in Glenclover, is cited in the publication Soil to Gut, How to Regenerate Your Health with Food, by former vet and now nutritionist Dr. Lucy Williamson. In the book, Dr. Williamson observes how our modern food system often works against both health and farmers, but by looking at what they buy to eat and considering how it has been grown or reared, people can make a real difference to health, to nature and to the planet. The impact of ultra-processed food or even just food that has been grown in soils lacking in nutrients thanks to the overuse of pesticides and chemicals is enormous. Dr. Williamson said, "For every £1 we spend on poor food, as much as £2.64 is spent on its hidden costs to our health, and that's before we consider the harm to nature and our environment. What an opportunity we have in better food. Nikki and James Yoxall run their business in partnership with Dee Ward at Rottle Estates, delivering regenerative agriculture as part of a mix of land uses, which includes sporting interests and nature recovery projects. Their operation is one of the producer examples used in the book to illustrate how farming methods could positively affect the health of the soil. Nikki said, "The natural world is abundant and diverse, which we often see in hedgerows and other wild places. Over time, conventional farming techniques have simplified the species present on farm, so bringing biodiversity back means embracing complexity and creating the conditions that allow for diverse abundance to return to farms. This can mean embracing messy corners and weeds." By mob grazing their cattle, Nikki and James keep the grass fairly long, which creates habitat for a range of amphibians, invertebrates, and small mammals. These all act as a food source to birds such as owls and merlins, and other larger mammals like pine marten, stoats, and weasels. Tall grass grazing with lots of time for rest and recovery of the sward means flowers get the opportunity to grow without getting grazed off immediately. This approach has seen ragged robin, northern marsh orchid, bird's foot trefoil and a range of vetches flowering in their pastures. In the book, Nikki warmly explains her relationship with her cattle and how the year for her is not marked by a calendar, but by the signs of nature, by the slow arc of a calf growing into herself, by the way winter loosens its grip on grass, by the first swallows of summer, those endless days of so much light that slip into the ever-shortening evenings of autumn. Nikki continued, "Caring for animals that will one day be eaten is a strange and intimate responsibility. It demands that I hold tenderness and practicality in the same breath. Meat, to me, is not a product first. It is a story that began in grass and rain and soil, carried through muscles and bone and breath. I want the people that eat the meat to sense that their meal once belonged to a living system, not a factory line." Get involved with local democracy. The process of electing the most local level of Angus's democratic ladder is due to begin next month. On Wednesday, August 17th, Angus Council will set the wheels in motion to select the county's new community councillors with the publication of the notice of election on our website. There are 25 community councils in Angus. They are the most local level of democracy, made up of volunteers who care about their local areas and want to make them better. Community councils are different from the UK government, the Scottish government, or Angus Council, as they do not make laws or run public services. A community council is non-party political in all its work. Examples of activities they may undertake include holding regular meetings, making representations on planning applications, organising events, running projects and carrying out community engagement. Most importantly, they make sure the voice of local people is heard and engage with Angus councillors and services such as Police Scotland on issues raised by members of their communities and which matter to them most. And now some sports news. Defeat for Arbroath on opening day. Arbroath suffered a 2-0 defeat away to Ayr United as the championship season kicked off on Saturday. Sean Mackey, Scott Constable and Scott McGill made their debut for the Lichties, with Andy Winter making a second debut on his return to the club. It would prove to be a frustrating day for co-managers Colin Hamilton and David Gold, as the honest men didn't have to work too hard for either of their goals. Just a minute before the break, always the worst time to lose an opening goal, United's Ben Summers found the Arbroath defence missing and made use of the room to fire past Aidan McAdams to give Eyre the lead. With just over 10 minutes remaining, Eyre put the game to bed. Ryan Flynn's attempted clearance was blocked. The spin of the ball eluded Tam O'Brien, and Ross Taylor pounced on the ball and strode forward to make it 2-0. In League One, it was a day to forget for Montrose, whose excellent early season League Cup form went out the window as they were thrashed 5-0 at Lynx Park by Hamilton Academical. The tone was set by Sean McGinty's 14th-minute own goal before Stuart McKinstry, 2, Stuart Brannigan and Stephen Hendry also found the net. Forfar's first match in League Two ended with all 3 points staying at Station Park, with a narrow 1-0 win over Kelty Hearts. It was no classic, but the Loons won't mind, as Angus Mailer's 15th-minute strike ensured Jim Weir's side got off to a winning start. In the Lowland League East, there was also a win for Brechin City, who took 3 points on the road at Bonnyrigg Rose. Billy King gave the home side lead at 14 minutes, but Bad Mackay equalised just 3 minutes later, and Darren Watson netted the winner just after the half-hour mark.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, Roger here with news of a blind marathon runner and a new invention that's helping him make history. He's using glasses that enable sighted people to give him guidance and direction in real time while he's running. His name is Clark Reynolds, and he's a 45-year-old man. He has run in the London Marathon using a tethered guide runner. That's someone who's tied to them that runs along with them. And he did that 3 years ago. But now he's upping the ante. Rather than using a physical guide, he's got an app on a pair of specs called Be My Eyes, and that will connect him with a worldwide network of sighted volunteers. Through a miniature camera mounted on the front of these smart glasses and speakers in the earpieces, people will be able to see what he could see and speak to him in real time, directing him through the typical 26.2 miles, that's 42.2 kilometres, of your average or your real accurate marathon. He says that running has given him another opportunity to spread the word about what unsighted people can do. He previously competed in the London Marathon with the help of a physical guide runner, but plans on running now with the help of a worldwide network of virtual volunteers. He's been supported by Fight for Sight, a charity which funds research into sight loss and for which he is an ambassador. Reynolds, who's from Havant, is also known as Mr. Dot, because that's a name he employs when he travels round the country teaching Braille through art in schools. He's been visually impaired in his right eye from the age of 6, but 13 years ago he noticed a shadow in his left eye, and since which time he's lost his sight. Be My Eyes is used for day-to-day tasks such as helping visually impaired people find the right button on a TV remote, for example. But Reynolds has explained that he accesses the help of volunteers, who are complete strangers, by saying, "Hey, Meta, come and be my eyes," and they will tell him if there's any obstacle or person in his way. He describes the glasses as similar to a Peloton bike with someone guiding you. "They're not only my eyes, but my cheerleaders too," he added as he runs along. So it can be surprising when they connect and see Reynolds in his mid-run. They probably think, "Oh gosh, this is a bit strange," he said, "but I'm really excited to be doing this. If you had told me 13 years ago that I'd be an ambassador for a major charity and I'd be inspiring visually impaired children around the world, I would never have believed you.
TNF Soundings.